Happy Sabbath. My name is Danny Parada. And my wife and I, we have been here with you for almost a year. My bosses brought me to California. When I say my bosses, I talk about my boss, Jesus Christ, and my boss here, Mr. Butler. I work with him at the Adventist Hal Delano as a chaplain. It's been an honor. And let me introduce my family here. The girl she loved pink. His name is Deborah. She's 30 years old. My son is 31 years old. His name is Joshua. My oldest daughter, Rebecca, she is 32. My wife is 33, and me, 34. You know, some time ago, I found out about this survey, National Sleep Foundation. They want to know what happened to you and me when we go to sleep. They found 80% they have sleeping problems two or more nights per week. Their symptom, sleeping difficulties. These people would go to bed trying to sleep and they can't disconnect. Everybody in the house snore, but they can't. Another group is that they found out that this group have waking up too early many times during the night. This group is able to go to sleep, but then an hour later, they wake up. And then they go to sleep, they wake up. It is very interesting. To me, it was very interesting to find this survey. Another group is they're waking up too early in the morning and not being able to go back to sleep. The last group that this survey was saying is that this group waking up without any desire to go to work. Probably today, many of us feel like, I don't want to go to work. Now, check this out. Their solution was very interesting that the survey was showing to me. Now, 87% they go to TV. They watch TV through the night. The other part is 60% they did their home chores. Washing dishes, passing the vacuum, doing something, can't go to sleep. The other group is that 36% they were in the internet. They got their laptop, their computer, their phone. They go to the internet. And the other group is, it was showing, is 21% did the work related to their jobs. Very interesting. Very interesting. So I titled the sermon today, Encircle Your Walls and They Will Fall. But before we go to the sermon, may I say a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for life and for how you sustain our life. Thank you. We're glad to be here in this house of prayer. Glad to know that you were with us. You protect us through the whole week. For many right here. Last week was very difficult. But thank you, Lord, because you allowed us to come here safely, to worship you, to listen to your word, to listen to your voice, to have fellowship with one another. Thank you for the Sabbath. We rejoice in this day, knowing, oh God, that this day is precious to you. And because this day is precious to you, we are precious to you too. Thank you. As we, God, go to your word, we ask for guidance. I ask for guidance. Help me to connect my thoughts with your word. Help me, oh God, to remember the stories. Make me like a little nail on the wall, and in that wall hang the picture of Jesus Christ. He used me like the microphone. So the message could be simple, short, and to the point. Thank you for taking care of our families, our communities, and our world. Help us to shine, to be the salt of the earth. Help us to connect one another through Christ and His name. Amen. So let's open the Bible, my friends, in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. Joshua chapter 6, verses chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. No one was allowed to go out or in, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priest blowing the horns. When you heard the priest giving one long blast of the ram horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. That's the word of God. Amen. Now, friends, this is something interesting to me, because today it is just to think about what happened right there. I mean, can you imagine? If you just think a little bit about the Israelites, they had 40 years in the wilderness. They just finished their 40 years, crossed the Jordan, and camped in front of Jericho. The city of Jericho was so tall that they can be seen for a long distance. Now, the Israelites have just went through very difficult times. Not long ago, they had buried 24,000 people. I mean, that's a lot of people. Their friends, some relative. So they were grieving. Now, Joshua, as a leader, he wanted to know how to conquer Jericho. Imagine you being Joshua. Put yourselves in Joshua's shoes. You get right there a huge wall to cross. Joshua couldn't sleep, thinking, how in the world am I going to conquer that city? And I just want to think about Joshua getting up early in the morning. I thought maybe his wife told him, where are you going? I just kind of sleep. I need to go walk. I need to get out of here. I need to pray. So he went out just a little bit out of the camp. And it was early in the morning. It was dark. When suddenly he saw somebody that looked like a commander, and he is the commander. And this commander has his sword in his hand. Now Joshua been a soldier, a general of the army of the Israel, well, he's saying in his mind, really? Okay. Let me ask you a question first, before we fight. Remember that question? The question was, are you with us or are you against us? And he was saying, it depends how you're going to answer. And he said, this commander-in-chief, he say, neither. Friends, God is not against his children. Amen? God is not against people. God so loved much the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But the commander-in-chief have a message for Josh. And that's very crucial to understand, because there is time where God will give you messages and laws to do and to obey and to follow, because God wants to give you and me freedom. And yes, they were grieving. And when your mind and my mind is grieving, everything seems to us so big, isn't it? Your mind cannot function well when you're grieving. My mind can't function that well. In fact, as a chaplain in the hospital, we encourage people when they're grieving to not make any decision for a year. Don't sell anything. Don't give away anything. Just hold your horses for a year. Please, please don't do that. Now, we know that Jericho wall was a challenge for anybody. Big challenge. And we know that only by the grace of God they were able to conquer. But let's check this out. Information is coming from Ellen G. White, the book of Patriarch and Prophets. Jericho has, this is what she say, they had horses and chariots. I mean, they were really prepared. People trained for battle, so they have warriors. They have, and God told them, you know, God told Joshua, I'm giving you his kin and I'm giving you his soldiers. And also, they knew the area much better than the Israelites. The city wall was reached out up to, it was so huge. You'll see, I'll show it to you. It was huge. It was huge, impossible. The city was devoted to the goddess of the moon. And she said also, it was the center of all the creation of vile things in the Canaanite religion. In other words, Jericho was their baby. Jericho was the, I could say, corporate building. Very interesting. I found this in Google. The British archaeologist, Kathleen Kenjin, she said that the city has two walls. Rich people, they live inside the two walls. Poor people live between the two walls. Remember who the Bible say live over there? There was a lady who lived over there. The only one who was able to escape from when Joshua was taken, remember? Rahab, yes. So she lived over there. But imagine 41 feet tall, the wall, 41 feet. Two walls, 6 feet wide. Very interesting. Impossible. There is no way a human being can conquer that city. In fact, Ellen G. White said that the soldier, they laugh, they mock the army of the Israel marching around. But God has a plan, and his plans are very, very different for human beings. And he gave us a lot of information. Now, conquering Jericho from their perspective was unsurmountable. It was unsolvable. It was unsuperable. And also, it was invincible. It was very difficult, powerful, vast, and it was straight to the way, like COVID today. We cannot go, you cannot go nowhere. It is right there. Before you know it, it's right there. You go to come to church, COVID is here. You go to shopping, COVID is there. You go to the hospital, COVID is there. It's a reality. And people are dying like crazy. Very difficult situation to manage. Imagine those people, doctors, nurses, who have to go to the patient room to take care of them. Very hard. Very difficult. And yet, God in his wisdom told Joshua, and he gave him four commands. Remember? four commands. And he told me, look, if you follow me and follow what I say, in fact, he said, I have given you already the city. And the city was standing, and he said, I already give you the city. It's a done deal, Joshua. Just follow what I'm saying and pay attention. And the first thing he said is, march around the city one for 6 days, 1 day at a time. One time at a time for 6 days. And then he say, on the seventh day, march around the city, how many times? Seven times. Pay attention to that, because the message is coming from there. And then he say, sound the trumpet. And then he say, shout with a great shout. Joshua understood exactly what he meant. He knew exactly what God's will was. He knew exactly his commands. And he passed that information to his people. And his people, they say, yes, sir. Anything God say to you, man, I'm with you. Just tell us, what is it? We'll do it. But that was for them. That was for them. And he say, if you follow my commands, this is what's going to happen. The city of Jericho will collapse. And if we follow God's command for us today, there is nothing that you can be afraid of. There is nothing that you can conquer. Nothing. In fact, Paul understood that. We can do what? Everything through Christ. And Christ say, with me, you can do anything. And without me, you can do nothing. So you choose. That's what he said. You choose. And it's interesting, my friend, because God today will give us a message for you to choose to go home in courage, to go home with hope, to go home with a mission, a command to follow for you to conquer your walls. And I'm sure right here, I'll be preaching somebody who couldn't sleep last night. I'm sure right here, there's people who are dealing with very difficult situation. Starting with financially, health, emotionally, grief, family issues. And you go home every single day, or you come home. In fact, there's people right here, they don't want to go home, because the situation at home is difficult. And there is people that they don't go to work, because in work situation is hard. We got COVID, and we got this boss who is literally making my life very difficult. Or I have this co-worker that is making my life very difficult. I can't work that way. But I have to go, because if I don't go, who's going to pay the bill? So God, please bless me. God is giving you today something beautiful. This is what it says to Joshua. March around the city once a day for 6 days, and then you will see what happened. I will say to you, God is saying to us, encircle your walls with prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is something that you and I should enjoy, because there is power in prayer. Oh, my friend. Anyway, I say this. Prayer is the opening of the heart as to a friend. And that's the key. That's so crucial to understand. Opening the heart as to a friend. How do you talk to your friend? Do you talk to your friend the same thing over and over and over and over? No. You speak to your friends of everything. Brother Jesse came to our home last night. We speak about everything, right? We just talk about it. We just enjoy the moment. That's how we should come to God. We just enjoy the moment. Saturday is like a date with God, where we talk to him about everything. He knows that already. But it's the moment. It's not the moment. It's the one who you talk to. And I love this guy who said, look at what he say. He who prays fervently does not know whether he is praying or not, because he does not think about the prayer, but he thinks about God to whom he prays. Talk to him about, think about who he is. not what you are going to say. Prayer is powerful. I'm privileged to share with you some of what I have seen, I've been a witness of prayer. One day I came to this hospital, where I'm coming from, and there's a pre-op. Pre-op is the place where you go for surgery and they prepare you for surgery. That's what they call pre-op, where nurses put everything together for you. And I log come into the hospital 6 a.m. Those days we didn't have COVID. And I came to the hospital 6 a.m. and I went straight to pre-op. And I got a good friend in that hospital. And she gave me permission to share the story. Her name is Bambi. I came to that and opened the door, and Bambi was fixing needles and everything what they fix. I don't even know what they have. So they put in together something. I say, "Hi, Bambi. Good morning. How are you today?" And that was the drop in the cup. She exploded, literally, crying. I can't believe. You know, we've been spending a lot of money, my husband and I. My dad even gave us money for me to get pregnant, and I can't get pregnant. I can't believe it. I mean, it was, and we got three little rooms divided by curtains. We got patients, but we got nurses, and we got doctors working right there. And this nurse was really opening up in front of everybody. What do you do with your friends are having troubles? What do you do? Well, you want to fix that problem for them, because I don't like to see my friend in trouble. Right? Whatever you need, just tell me. And guess what happened to my brain? I saw my friend going in trouble, and she wanted a son, she wanted a child. Guess what I say? Well, if you believe in God, God can give you a child. And she's looking at me, really? What do I need to do? And I thought, oh my goodness, what did I say? What if? And I thought, God, are you going to help me? We need to pray. Well, let's do it right now. No, wait a minute. It was on Monday. About Wednesday, talk to your husband. At that point, we got nurses, we got doctors coming to try to counsel Bambi, the nurse. She's a church nurse. See, friend, when you are going through difficult times, we don't care where are we, isn't it? We just put it right there. And that group of nurses and doctors, we got atheists and we got agnostics doctors. But the situation was so tense that this agnostic doctor said, "Well, yeah, we need to pray. Danny, when are we going to pray? Wednesday. What time? 7 a.m. Okay, good. That was one of the few times when my chapel of, you know, small little place got really packed with nurses and doctors. So Bambi came to that. We prayed, three of us prayed for her. I anointed her, and after the prayer, everybody back to work. About 3 months later, Bambi was waiting for me in pre-op again. I forgot about it, you know, we pray for, I don't keep track of what God is going to do. We just do it and bye, God, Dios te bendiga, you know, vaya con Dios. That's it. So when I came in the morning, I said, good morning. Because I go to everybody, hey, come on, how are you doing today? And Bambi, you say, hey, I can't believe, I'm waiting for you. I say, really? Okay, good, how you doing? And they say, well, guess what? I say, what? In 3 months, I haven't had my period. I say, what? Not even my wife told me those things. No. You don't get it? No, I don't. Danny, I'm pregnant. Really? 3 months already? Yeah. It's been confirmed. So isn't that amazing? Friends, God is almighty, and God can protect you, and God can give you the desire of your heart. Now, this guy is 12 years old. He's playing the piano, playing music, Christian music, to worship God. The issue is that 6 months later, after, you know, giving birth, she was complaining because she was not able to sleep. And God said, okay, are you complaining? Yeah. But friend, there is power in prayer. Power. Literally, remember this? The Israelite, when they get up out of Egypt with Moses, experience this thing. They came to a point when there was a liquid wall and they got the Egyptian in the back and God was in the middle. And Moses didn't know what to do. But Moses knew God, and he knew when he told to him, God was going to tell him what to do. And he came to him and said, what do you want me to do? And God said, what do you mean? What am I going to do? Just get into the water. The ocean was split in two. And they were able to pass. It was very interesting. When we literally, intentionally, we told to God, and we don't think about what are we going to say, about who are we talking to. Very, very interesting. Remember this time? Peter? This is an amazing story also. Now, Peter, he knew the next day he was going to be killed. He knew. So he took his clothes, his sandal, went to sleep. And he thought, well, I got even guards over here. My dream is going to be, my sleep is going to be very peaceful. No problem. But his church was praying. Now, in the middle of the night, the angel came to Peter and wake him up. Because the church was praying. And Peter wake up, and the angel say, get up, okay, follow me, okay. And the angel look back and say, hey, Peter, put your clothes on. Oh, okay, and your sandal, all right, okay, follow me, yeah. And the angel guide him to outside, you know the story, outside the jail, and let him in the middle of the street. And the angel say, okay, see you later, Peter, bye. Oh, this is real. He thought he was dreaming. And he said, I'm going to go home. So he went home, knocked at the door. One of the girls came up and opened the little window. That's at least what the movie say. Little window. And that was Peter. And the church was praying and praying and praying. And she ran to the group who was praying and said, hey, Peter is outside. And did they believe him? Did they believe her? No. Oh, poor little thing. Let me give you a hand. No, don't touch me. Peter is outside. And Peter, boom, boom, boom. Open the door. They came over to the door. They couldn't believe it. Is that happened to you that God answered your prayer? They don't believe it. Yeah. There is power in prayer. Please remember that. The other thing that took my attention is this one. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times. I will say to you, encircle your wall with what? Perseverance. This is something very critical to understand, friends, because the children of Israel, they didn't receive the miracle in one day or two. How many days it took? 7 days. Now, check this out. Now, also, that day is likely that many were like, okay, is that going to happen? Yeah, absolutely. But they didn't give up. That is so crucial. As a hospice chaplain, I came over to a meeting with my nurses, and they say, Danny, there is Mr. D wants to see you. And I say, thank you so much for the referral. No, Danny, you don't understand this. Mr. D, he doesn't believe in God. Really? In fact, Danny, every pastor that comes to visit him, literally, he has kicked them, literally, out of the house. But he said he wants you to come over. Okay, you know, we chaplain, we face everybody. So atheists, hey, everybody, we've been trained for that. So I came over. When I knocked the door, I can hear saying, come in. And I came in and closed, you know, opened the door, closed the door. And he was sitting in a lazy chair right there, 87 years old. His wife was 85 years old. And when I came in front of him, I was going to say, good morning. And he said, look at me, Chaplain Danny. Yes, sir. When you come to my house, you don't bring the Bible, you don't mention God, and you don't pray for me. Do you understand that? I couldn't say anything. My brain went blank. And I don't know what to say. I have never experienced that welcome home, welcome for the visit. And he knew that he got me in his hand, and he said, well, say something. Well, say something about you. And I say, and God say, this is your turn. And I say, Mr. D, I'd be more than happy to share about my life, but in my life, That is God. Do you want to know about my life? And he say, like, whatever. Go ahead. Talk to me about it. So I start talking to Mr. D about my childhood and how the war, because I'm from El Salvador. So I left El Salvador when the civil war exploded. Got almost killed. And I told him a little bit about it. And I noticed that he was so into my story that I suddenly get up. I don't know where that came from. I get up and I say, Kennedy, thank you so much. Thank you for letting me come. And he said, well, where are you going? So I got the former patient to see. You can see them in other weeks, maybe later. And I say, no, I have to. I got the appointments already. No, I'll see you. I'll see you next time. You want me to come back? I said, yeah, you can come back. And I just keep walking, looking for the door. And I say, come here, Chaplain Danny. I came on back. I said, look, I want you to do me a favor. Yes, Mr. D. I like you. And I said, thank you, Mr. D. And I said, thank you, Lord. And he said, when I die, I want you to be the speaker at my funeral. Is that okay with that? I said, yes. Absolutely, that will be an honor. But I don't want you to bring your Bible. I said, okay. And I went and visited my patient thinking, Lord, how can I do a funeral service on my Bible? And God say, don't worry about it, got 3 more months. So I started visiting this Mr. D for 4 more visits. So in my every time that I visited him, he was always saying, okay, Danny, you say this. He knew, he remembered, I didn't remember what I say to him, you know, it's my life. And he was saying, this is what you say to me, to what was next? And God said to me, ask him. And always we're sitting in this small little table. His wife was sitting over here. He was sitting over here. I was sitting over here. And there's a little table. Our hands were just right there on the table. And I said, Mr. D, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, whatever you want to ask me, that's fine. I noticed that when I told you about my story about God has saved my life, you don't get angry anymore. Do you want to know more about God? And this question was like the question to deliver. He looked at his wife right away, like saying, there again too. He looked at me, and then he looks down. And looking down, he say, please. And I look at his wife, and his wife reached out my hand and hugged me. I grabbed my hand and she say, Danny, with tears in her eyes, I've been praying for this for 47 years. 47 years. Perseverance. God sometime will take his time. On his time, not yours, not mine, but God will answer your prayer. Told to him as a friend. Just let him know. Don't look for, don't just be you and God. And God will answer your prayer. Absolutely. On the seventh day, sound the trumpets. That was for the Israelite. Sound the trumpet. And circle your walls with what? Praise. The Apostle Paul say this, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he said it again, rejoice in the Lord. How many of us go to work with a face like, I don't want to be here. Oh, come on. You're a child of God. The situation that you're going through, it's going to go away. And if it doesn't go away, God will go with you. And he said, that is enough for you. So please, encircle your wall with praise. The ability to praise God in the middle, in the midst of impossibility, it is a powerful secret. The enemy cannot bear the presence of holy worship and praise. Oh, absolutely. The ability is a secret because not many people can do that. I struggle with that. How are you going to praise God when you got your loved one dead? How are you going to praise that when you have your loved one in a wheelchair? How are you going to praise that when your loved one is not doing well? When your son is in drugs? When your son is in the gangs? When your son or your family is thinking against you? How are you going to praise the Lord? How can I be rejoiced? Well, friends, Our journeys are so personal. Just you and God. But God said to you and to me, rejoice. Because my power is sufficient to you. And you will see what God is able to do. Oh, my friends. This is very interesting. How the scripture told to us. Remember the story when Paul and Silas? Paul and Silas, they were in jail in a very difficult situation. It was very hard. How many of you have been in jail? No, don't answer. Don't. I have been in jail twice, but not for the reason you're thinking. I did my school in Montemorelos University. And I went to the jail twice to do evangelistic meeting. I love evangelistic meetings. That's my hobby. I asked permission to the man in charge in the jail. I said, hey, can I do this? Can I do evangelistic meeting in here? And he looked at me, why? Well, they need it. They need God. Well, he said, this is the rule. This is what you can do. This is what you cannot do. So we started evangelistic meeting over there. It is very interesting because in jail, like any other place, there is always who is the boss, isn't it? If you want to know about me, ask my boss. Not him, but her, my wife. Yeah, there is always in charge. And my first three Saturdays, trying to teach a sermon or a Bible study when somebody was very angry. But the issue was that in that group that I had about 10 people right there, there was the boss who was listening. And he was very interesting. So he got up that day and went to this guy who was all the way over there yelling like, you know, not me. And he said to him, you better be quiet. He used all the words, but he better be quiet or else. I can only imagine Paul and Silas thinking, this is what we're going to do. How about if we pray? Absolutely. They didn't pray quietly. They prayed by talking to God who they know. And when they got a little tired of prayer, hey, Paul, do you remember that song that you taught us last time? Yeah, how was it? Oh, this is how it go. And Paul started singing. All the prisoners were like, wow. That's amazing, friend. Because when we literally praise God in the midst of impossibility, the prisoners who are around you, around me, they are listening. It was dark. There was no way that they can see them, but they were able to listen. And listening is very powerful when you're able to understand what's going on, especially when you are in the same boat. And these people, look what they say. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoner were listening. Now, suddenly, de pronto, en español, suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Imagine an earthquake in a jail. Very scary. Literally scary. That shake the foundation of the prison, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Wow. Prayer and what else? Praise. By the way, thank you for the group of that we have here in this church for guide us in praising God. Beautiful. Our boy who played the piano so beautiful. I was touched. That was amazing. Thank you. There is power on what you do as you guide us through the worship of God. And these two men, they knew that. And they were able to engage one another with prayer and praise. And the outcome was so... You and I know the story. You and I know the story. Absolutely. Now here's another one. Cried out, the battle cried. What does that mean? Encircle your walls with faith. Faith is something very, very interesting. And what is faith? Well, you know, the Israelites, they didn't have any organization, any army. They have no powerful weapon. They only have the command given to Joshua by God. And they follow that very, you know. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after marching around the city 7 times. But what is faith? We know what is faith. The Apostle Paul told us, right? But this is a philosophical thinking. Paul was a philosophical, was a philosopher. He was really good. But how you explain faith to somebody who's new, a visitor to our church? I'll say this. For me, faith is refusing to panic. In my word, refusing to panic. Very powerful. Knowing the situation, what you're going through. Knowing that the doctor say to you, this is your diagnosis. And you refuse to panic. You choose intentionally believe in the promise given to you by God. Oh, friends, I have seen many miracles in my life. God has allowed me to see that, I guess. And they are treasuring my heart. Just to give you one. I used to work for Adventist Health Portland from 6 to 2:30. And in my first month of evangelism, and those days were a month, it was a month, day after days. In my first month of evangelism, it was a Friday when we came to, my wife and I, the kids were little, so we're sleeping in on the floor, on the first elder church, house. About 1:30, the phone rang. It was somebody who was going very difficult. He thought he was going to die. His wife called and said, would you please come? And we said, yes. We went. When we arrived to the house, 4 little kids, I mean, that were not little, but they were teenagers, they were crying. And one of them took us to where dad and mom were. He was really sick. And he said, would you pray for me? I said, absolutely, that's what we're here for. The first elder and I was kneeled down, and he was in bed. And she was right there holding hand, and I asked her, have you ever had any issues? Anything that you, as a couple? And she said, yeah, we had an argument really bad 3 days ago. We read what James said, and she asked forgiveness, and he asked forgiveness. And we kneeled down, we anointed him. And I couldn't believe it. I said my prayer, the elders also prayed. But when he finished the prayer, the man was sitting on his bed, looking at us down. So when we raised our head, he was like, hi, what happened? I feel good. The kids came over running. You feel good? Yeah. And the elders said, you have to come over tomorrow and give a testimony in church. 8:00. And he said, yes, sir, I'll be there. I never saw that. I never saw that. That was my first time that I saw it. Amazing. Now, 2 weeks later, I got sick on Saturday night. And we were sleeping on the floor, and the funeral elder came over and said, hey, are you okay? I said, no. The same symptom that this man has, I had it. By the way, in church, there was a lot of people not doing well as well. And he said, you are this way because we haven't prayed yet, so we're going to pray. And I said, absolutely, man, please pray for me. I remember seeing what happened. And we kneeled down, and I say, please. And he said, no, if you want to be healed, you ask him. And I said, his name is Orlin. I said, Orlin. And I said, nope, you're going to ask God. And that was my simple prayer to God. And I say to God, this is how I feel. And I'm not going to go preaching this evening, if you don't heal me. How can I preach to a God who is almighty when the preacher is sick? I can't go. If you don't heal me, Orlin will go and preach. That's the only thing that I remember. Something hot came to my head. And I did not even say in the name of Jesus. I just stopped praying. And he looked at me like, and he said this, he healed you, right? I said, yeah, and I'm really hungry. My wife got up and said, yeah, sure, you're gonna eat. There is power in prayer. Have faith. Faith is amazing. Now, another story. I'm going to close with this one. Another story. We work with the grace of, by the grace of God, creating and making another church in Tualatin, Oregon. That's church right there. But I was working 8 hours, and at 3 o'clock I was driving to give it a Bible study. But I don't like to go by myself. So I stopped by another church member and say, would you please come with me to this Bible study? And he said, brother, I just came from the hospital with my son, 5 years old son. He said, and he is with fever, he's not doing well. And I say to him, well, if you come with me, the Lord will heal your boy. You know, sometimes you say things like, but you know, that's the reality, right? That's real. And he looked at me, really? Yeah. So we went to the boy, prayed for this boy, the three of us, mom, daddy, myself, we pray. I anointed him, and we went to the Bible study. 2 hours later, we came back. Oh, it's late. Sorry. Guess where the boy was? He was outside in his bike playing with the other little kids. So he asked me, is that my son? Yes, he's your son. So we parked the car, and he ran to his boy, and he asked him, what happened? And he said this, well, when the pastor put me gasoline in my head, I feel good. And I thought, wow, there is power in prayer. There is power in praise. There is power in perseverance. And there is power, my God, in worship God, because God is with us. You know, when fears comes to our life, this is what happened. Fears only, you know, only see the lions. Faith, look at Daniel's angels. Now, when fears come to us, fear look only the approaching storm. Faith looks at Noah's rainbow. Hear this? Now, your anxiety, look at your foes. Faith, look at your Savior. Your apprehension, watch the mistake you make over and over. Now, faith, look at what it say. Looks at the shed blood of Christ. You worries look in the mirror and looks a sinner, a failure, a breaker of promises. Now faith contemplate in the mirror and see a prodigal son with a ring on his of grace on his finger and a kiss on his cheek from his heavenly Father. That's faith. Faith is amazing. Surround and circle your walls with prayer, worship, faith, and perseverance, and for sure your walls will fall down flat. Because the Lord, your God, has said so. May God bless you and keep you. May the Lord of God, may his face shine upon you and give you peace, healing, encouragement in all what you need to keep walking with him, hand by hand. Amen. God bless you.